Morning is our favourite time to fly. Today, even with the tournament looming and the empty arena below us a reminder that soon we'll be watched for the first time by thousands, it's still possible to savour the city sprawled beneath a dragon's wings. When we pull tight on a turn, I glimpse one of Palor's black eyes, depthless, turned on me. The line between us, of shared emotions and thoughts that are usually latent in the saddle, goes taut. Yes, today it begins. Today we'll rise. But in order to do that, I'll need a clear head. I gently extricate myself from Palor's simmering anticipation and refocus on the arena. Two other dragon riders fly with us, each riding one of the other two breeds. Chrissa and her skyfish are in the air above us, while Kor and his storm scourge glide below, bellowing ash over the arena stands. We're on our last rehearsal, this time with just the squadron leaders. I lift my voice over the wind. "You're taking her too low, Kor." Kor grunts, frustrated, and urges his storm scourge higher. We've rehearsed the choreography of the tournament's opening ceremony over and over with ministry officials, and every time, the question of how to demonstrate the might of the Storm Scourge breed becomes tricky. Before the revolution, the dragons of Storm Scourge House, of my family, were known for terrorizing the countryside. But in even older days, they were our island's greatest defense against aerial invasion. "They told us to fire low," says Kor. "Not that low. It's risky for the audience." Our dragons are immature, barely horse size, and can't yet breathe fire, but the smoke they produce can still burn. Chrissa and her skyfish, long, slender, and pale enough blue to blend with the morning sky, circle above us. "You want to impress the people," she calls down to Kor, "not roast them." Kor waves a hand. "All right, all right." The fleet is still in training, dragons and riders both. Known now as guardians, the new regime's dragon riders are lowborn, commoners, even former serfs. No longer the sons of dragon lords. Except for me. Though I'm the only one who knows that. Because in the wake of the revolution, to be dragonborn is to be wanted for dead. I was born Leo, son of Leon, Dragon Lord of Storm Scourge House, and Drakarch of the Far Highlands. But since the orphanage, I've been Lee. Not even the first protector who saved my life and then welcomed me, without recognition, into his guardian program 2 years after that, knows the truth. That a Storm Scourge tested into the meritocratic dragon riding program designed to replace everything his family stood for. Even though I know I'm lucky to be here, lucky to be alive, lucky to have escaped the orphanage, memories of the old life have a way of intruding and twisting. Especially today, as Palor and I circle above the palace arena, open to the public for the first time since the revolution. The old regime had tournaments here too, tournaments I watched my father compete in, dreaming of the day it would be my turn. I lean forward and rest a gloved hand on Palor's silver-scaled neck as his wings, translucent in the morning light, tighten in a dive. Palor is an Aurelian, a smaller breed known for being careful and maneuverable. And the Aurelian formation for today's ceremony is the only one complex enough to require co-leaders. I can rehearse alone, but to do the thing properly I need Annie. There she is. Another Aurelian, this one amber-toned, has emerged from the cave mouth at the base of the arena, and on her back rides my sparring partner, Annie. She and I have trained together for as long as we've been in the Guardian program, and we've known each other since the orphanage before that. It's a past life's worth of memories that we're both pretty good at not talking about. "Annie!" Chrissa calls with a cheerful wave. "There you are!" "Lee's been flying like an idiot out here without you," Kor says. Palor and I fire ash downward. Kor dodges the stream with a bark of laughter. Annie's lips curve at Kor's remark, but instead of answering, she rolls seamlessly into formation opposite me, her dragon, Ayla, mirroring Palor's movements. Annie's red-brown braid hangs low on her back, her pale, freckled face set in concentration. I've thought of Annie as beautiful, strikingly beautiful, for almost as long as I can remember, but I've never told her that.